Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yud. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. It says, Gemara Amar Rabbeinu L'Olam Yedabek Adam B'Tovim. A person should always marry somebody who comes from a good family. So says the Gemara, Shrei Moshe Nasa Bas Yisroi, Moshe Rabbeinu married the daughter of Yisroi, who was a priest for Avodah Zarah. And what happened was, Yotzman and Yonason, who we discussed in our previous year, Yonason was a priest in the Avodah Zarah of Micha. The Ben Yoyada points out, why does the Gemara use the word lo'olam? What does the Gemara want to mean, say with the word lamed? The teacher says, the Ben Yoyada, that even somebody who's a great tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu, should not feel that because I'm a great tzaddik, I don't have to worry and I can marry a woman even not from a family of Ben Tovim. So it teaches us the Gemara that doesn't make a difference even if you're so great, it doesn't make a difference. Another pshat that the Ramah Mepana says that when Moshe Rabbeinu married Yisrael's daughter and at that point Yisrael was still a priest for Avodah Zarah, Yisrael made Moshe Rabbeinu swear that the first child that he will have will also be a priest of Avodah Zarah. That's why he explains, we know the episode in the Torah where Gershom did not have a bris milah and the Malach wanted to kill him because he did not have a bris milah. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu make a bris milah for his son? The reason he didn't make a bris milah for his son because he knew he's going to be a priest. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, look what happens when you marry a daughter from such a family, a woman from such a family, the kind of compromises you're going to have to make are compromises that are not acceptable in halacha. The morale explains that Moshe, that what the Gemara means to say was that Moshe Rabbeinu was such a great person. And certainly, it should make sense that an individual as great as Moshe Rabbeinu should have great children. Yet, as we find and will continue learning, that wasn't the case. So the Gemara is seeking a reason. How did this happen that Moshe Rabbeinu did not end up with great children? And the Gemara only could attribute that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu ended up with such children is because he married the daughter of Bes Yitzchak. The Achronim point out that this halacha is actually not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. And some explain because it's obvious and it's not needed to be said. And some explain that it really depends on the circumstances. And in certain circumstances that it's not, it may be mutter to marry. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, teaches us that the pasuk says "Oru Shoychev and Kol Behema," it refers to somebody who marries the daughter of an Amoritz. So Rashi says that the daughter of an Amoritz is likened to an animal that they don't have the proper understanding in the ways of the Torah. The Taz explains that Rashi means that due to a lack of understanding, she will distract the husband from learning Torah, while the daughter of an Amoritz may understand that through learning Torah one will get a share in Olam Haba, she nevertheless doesn't understand the true value of learning Torah and will stop him from learning Torah, not recognizing that we know the halach is that the pasuk says Kehem Chayenu Aruch Yomeinu. Says the Taz that if we will have the daughter of an Amoritz who learned in school and knows the value of learning Torah, they taught her in school what the value of learning Torah is, then he says there would be no problem in marrying the daughter of Amoritz. And the question is that maybe that would be the halacha in all the examples that we're speaking about a shir. And in fact, the Cheshuki Chemed has a discussion, who should one prefer to marry? Should he prefer to marry somebody whose parents are not Talmidei Chachamim? but they have yichus, or should they marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham? Should they marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, even though he doesn't have yichus? So at first glance, he says that our Gemara, we quoted the Ben Yoyada, says la'olam. La'olam means always marry the daughter of a miyuchas. So he says, certainly if it's a situation that the issue of the yichus goes back many generations, and this girl's parents, fathers, the Talmud Chacham parents are wonderful people, we should pay attention to that rather than paying attention to the fact that maybe some generations back there are a Talmud Chacham. But if not, he's not quite clear what should be done. Maybe, but according to the Taz, it seems that it's quite obvious that the Taz's opinion is that we should look at the actual girl's upbringing. And if the girl's upbringing is a positive upbringing, then the halacha is that one should consider that maybe more than the yichus. Aaron, continues the Gemara, who on the other hand, we see married Bas Aminadov, the daughter of Aminadov, and who was the descendant of that, says, it was Pinchas. And as all the Rishonim explained, that when the Torah gave the kahuna to Aaron, it was only for children that were already born at that, not born at that time. Pinchas was already born. So Pinchas should not have been a Kohen. But because the story of Pinchas with Zimri and that he did what he was supposed to do, Kano and Poigenboy, he was rewarded the kahuna. So we see from here that it's better what happens when you marry somebody that's from a yuchus. But there's a very important point the Mashah says. The Mashah says that we can't take the words of this Gemara and believe that they are a hard and fast rule. Rather, explains the Mashah, we have to look at every situation individually. And sometimes we find people who come not from such a great yichus, but are very special. And the same thing, vice versa. Therefore, suggests the Marsha that, and as we've been saying, the Taz says the same, we have to look at all the circumstances before a decision is made, which is the better shidduch. Ask the Gemara, Pinchas lav miYisrael, is it true that Pinchas did not come from Yisrael? V'ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'lozim and Aaron, Elazar married somebody from the family Petuel, my love, and who is that referring to, suggests the Gemara. It means Yisroi, Shepitim, Golem of Avodah Zarah, that he was a priest for Avodah Zarah. So ask the Gemara, why are we so quick to say that Aaron did the right thing? We see that he also, his son Elazar also married somebody who was Pitim a Golem Lavoda Zara. Says the Gemara Loi, it doesn't mean that he married somebody from the family of Yisroi. Rather, he married somebody to also Yosef from the family of Yosef. And what does the word Petil mean? Shepit Beit Be Yitzroi. He was able to overcome his Yetzahara. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that when it says Benois Petil, it means Yosef, not Yisroi? Ask the Gemara, the Shvatim were embarrassing Pinchas. And what they were saying, do you see this person who comes from this family? Ben Shepitam Avi Oimah Agolam Vadazara, somebody whose grandfather, maternal grandfather, was a priest of Vadazara, he should be Yarig Nosil Le Shevet Yisrael. He should have the temerity that he should kill a Nasi of the Shevet. So we see clearly that he did marry somebody from the family of Yisrael. So many of Farshim, of course, asked the question, is this the appropriate way to approach this? Somebody does the right thing. Pinchas does the right thing that and now they're embarrassing him. So the Yarish Tavash says that the has a very different approach to this Gemara. He says that the Gemara that what they actually meant to do was to complement Pinchas, that a person from a great family should do what Pinchas did is understandable, but that somebody who comes from such a family should rise to the occasion and do something like this, they found that impossible to believe. So what the Gemara, they didn't mean to embarrass him. On the contrary, they meant to compliment him for the great thing that he did, that he was able, that even though he came from such a place, he did what he had to do. The Chasam Sofer has a different pshat. He says that when a person does a great thing, what he needs to be concerned is that he shouldn't become arrogant. He shouldn't become a Baal Gaiva for what he did. So here Pinchas, as we're learning, did such a great act. And the concern was that maybe he's going to become arrogant because of what he did. So what they did was they said to him, remember where you come from. And by remembering from where you came from and still being in a place that you feel not that, and you still did it, you won't, it won't let, we won't, it won't let you get to your head. The Imre Emes has a different approach. The Imre Emes' approach is that they said to him that Jews are Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim, we're people of mercy. The Akum, we know, are Ritzchanim, are murderers. And what they were saying to him was, maybe what you did was because you have in you this gene, this genetic trait of murder. Therefore, they were saying to him that that's why you killed, and not because you did it because of the right thing. The Teres Yeshua offers a different pshat. We know that this halacha that Pinchas killed was based on the halacha of Kanoim Poigenboy. But there's a question. When something like the situation with Zimri and Shlomoel ben Tzuri Shaddai come together, there's a question, what is the right approach to take? Is the right approach to take a strong approach to be tough, or is it an approach to be soft and try to bring the people back? So what happened here was, explains the Teres Yeshua, they suggested that maybe the right thing that Pinchas should have done is not take this approach of kanos, not take this strong approach. Maybe just on the opposite, he should have taken a soft approach. But then they said he comes from Aaron. And Chazal teach us that when we speak about Aaron HaKoyin, Aaron HaKoyin was an individual who was Oyev Shalom and Roidev Shalom. What does it mean that he was Oyev Shalom and Roidev Shalom? Mefarshim explained that an individual's Oyev Shalom and Roidev Shalom means sometimes he realizes that the right thing to do is to be an Oyev Shalom, to seek peace. And sometimes the right thing to do is just the opposite, to be a Roidev Shalom. So what happened here was they said, the reason you took this tough stand is because you come from Yisroi. You have this flaw in your Yichus. Then, so they responded that he comes from Aaron HaKoyin. And Aaron HaKoyin was an individual who was Oyev Shalom v'Roidev Shalom. And because Aaron HaKoyin was an individual who was Oyev Shalom v'Roidev Shalom, he knew that he has to judge every situation individually. That's where Pinchas came to make this decision. The Kol Mevaser has a different pshat. Every person is made up of his pnimius, what he really is inside, and there's the chitzonius. And the person is really what his pnimius is. So they said that your pnimius is from your Yisroi family. And they said, no, his pnimius was from Aaron, maybe the chatzonius, but the pnimius which drove him to show that he was from Aaron. Ramei Shapiro has a different approach, very similar to the approach that we've been learning. He begins with the psukim by the Akedah. The pasuk starts by the Akedah. The pasuk says, "V'lekim nisa es Avram." God tested Avram Avinu,
And the question that he asks is, why is the Akedah considered a test on Avram Avinu and not a test on Yitzchak? Yitzchak was the one that was put up on the Mizbeach. Yitzchak was the one that was going to lose his life. And why does the Torah call it Velakim Nisus Avram? So he answers that we know that Avram Avinu represents Midas HaChesed. Yitzchak represents Midas Gvura. So to be ready to go on a Kedah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somebody who represents the Midas HaGvura, it's not such a serious test. It's somebody who represents the Midas HaChesed. For him, it's a great test. That's why the Pasuk focuses for Elohim Nisus Avram. Avram Avinu with the Midas HaChesed, still he was ready to bring his son as an Akedah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what happened here as well, says Ramey Shapiro. Pinchas certainly did a great thing, but it depends how we look at Pinchas. If we look at Pinchas as a descendant of Yisroi, so what he did is not really such a great thing, because that's part of his DNA, to be Midas HaGvur, to be tough, and to be able to stand up when you need to stand up. If he comes, however, if his Yichus, and that's what they said, what Pinchas did is not to be considered so great, given where he's coming from, given that he's coming from Yisroi. Says the Pasuk, that says the Gemara, no, we look at it that he came from Aaron. And Aaron, we know, Oyev Shalom, represents the Schus of the Midas HaChesed. And still, even though he has that primary personality of being Midas HaChesed, he did what he had to do. The Satmar Rebbe in his Sefer Divrei Yoel has another approach. He says that before somebody does something so serious, he needs a lot of siyata d'shmaya. And not only does he need a lot of siyata d'shmaya, he also has to have schus ovetz. So what the Shvatim was saying was, they were, again, according to the Satmar Rebbe's interpretation, they were actually saying great things about Pinchas. How is somebody able to do what Pinchas did? Somebody is only able to do what Pinchas did if he has schus ovetz. And Pinchas didn't have schus ovetz, to which the Gemara says he did have the schus ovetz. He had the schus ovetz of Aaron that helped him be able to do what he had to do. Says the Gemara, even if we'll say that Pinchas was a descendant of Yisroi, he wasn't a grandson of Yisroi. If the father of his mother was a descendant of Yosef, if his maternal grandmother was from Yisroi, and if his mother's father's family was from Yisroi, what happens is he had in him both Yosef and Yisroi, and therefore we can't say he was a daughter of Yisroi. There was a combination. And it was also, as the Mefarshim explained, many generations further, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu's children were direct grandchildren of Yosef. Dekanami, the Ksim B'mnois B'tuel. When Pinchas is described, the Pasuk says B'mnois. So the way the Rashbam explains, it means there were many families contributing to who he was. Another pshat is that the Torah uses the word yud as the letter yud. And since the letter yud means that there were many people involved in who he was, tar tishmamin are both families. Says the Gemara, Rabba Hanoisi Isha Tzorach Shivdik Becheo. If somebody marries a woman, he has to check who her brothers are. Because as all the Rishonim explain, most of the children of a woman will look like their mother's brothers. So you have to see who the mother's brothers are. Shnema v'ikach aris el shave basaminod v'chois nachshin. So explains the Gemara. Mashi shnema. Once the pasuk says that his wife Elisheva basaminodov was the daughter of Aminodov, any day shachois nachshin. So obviously she was the sister of Nachshin. Matam lemi. Why is it necessary for the Torah to mention that she was Nachshin's sister? From here we learn the Gemara, Mikancha, Noisa Isha, somebody who marries a woman, Tzorach Shivdik Ba'achel, has to watch, examine who our brothers are. For as we explained, Tana Rai Banam Dai Malachiyim, most children will look that way. The Masha explains that we sometimes do mention who someone's brother. So why over here does the Gemara find it difficult to mention who a brother was? So the Masha explains, when it isn't known who a brother is, so there it's acceptable to mention who a brother is. But what's well known who a brother is, the question is legitimate, who is a brother? So the question that the Bnei Yisoschar in a Sefer Agra, the Kala, asks, so how did Yitzchak Avinu marry the sister of Lavan, and that's how he indeed had a son who was Esav HaRasha? Says the Agra the Kala, if a person doesn't know for sure that this is his wife, so this is his zivig, so then he has to do examination. And one of the things that he has to look for, teaches us our Gemara, is who are her brothers. But in a case like ours, where we know who that Yitzchak knew with all the Ruach HaKodesh that we see in the Torah, who that this was his zivik, we don't have to do that. The Satmar Rebbe points out that this halacha of Tzorach Livdik Be'achea is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. And as we said, says the Satmar Rebbe, that was only in a world where things were pretty much working with a certain order. And there the Gemara says, the children are going to look like a brother. But in a world where we live, where everything is not so clear, we have to look at the person. Moreover, the Satmar Rebbe used to say, that when the Gemara says that the only time we have to look at the brother is only that in a case where her father is not alive. But he used to say that if a woman has a father who we know is a very fine man, even though her brothers may not be that way, we have to look at the father, and that's all we have to look at. Another point that he used to make, he says, the Gemara says, Tzarech Livdik Bechea. That means, he says, when we don't know how to evaluate the woman, so what we have to do is look at her brothers. But in a case, he said, where we know who this woman is, and based on knowing who the woman is, we know she's a fine woman, then there's no need to look at her brothers. Rabbi Aaron Belzer used to say, after World War II, he said the entire world got turned over during World War II, and therefore he used to say, if there's a good shidduch, don't be focused on who the brother is. Moreover, the Chazon Ish used to say, as long as there's one brother who acts appropriately, that's all we need to look for. There's no need to evaluate all of the brothers. Another, the Stipler used to say that this halacha is only in a place where the people are not exposed to bad influences. But if we live in a place where people are exposed to bad influences, and then we see that the girl's brothers are not the way we would want them to be, we can't have any issue with the girl because maybe they were just exposed to something. I also saw that Rabbi Yonasan Aipsha says that just like our Gemara says, Roy Bonim, Hochan Acha Acheya Aim, most sons look like the mother's brothers. Most daughters, he said, look like the sister's father. Rav Shach used to say that everything we were saying about examining the brothers, he says, that's only as far as behavior is concerned. But when we talk about a person's beliefs, their hashkafis, the hashkafis are not dependent on the brothers. Every person is looked at individually. And if this person has the right hashkafis, the fact that unfortunately, maybe she has brothers that don't have that right hashkafa should not affect that she affair her. I saw that Mepharshim explain. We know the famous perek in Mishlei, Eishes Chayil Miyimtzo. We sing it Friday night, and I saw that the many Mefarshim suggest Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, the first four words are the word Achim. How do you know who somebody's brothers are? Says the Gemara, Achim. I also saw that the Stipler would say that if somebody got engaged to a girl and then he discovered after they were already engaged that this girl's brothers did not act appropriately, even though even though the Gemara says we should look at the brothers, if they're already engaged, we should leave it that way. The Mefarshim point out that what happened, how did Yaakov, the Bnei Soskan, the Sefer Agla, the Kala, discusses this well. How did Yaakov marry Rachel and Leah? Rachel and Leah were the children of Lavan, and we know that the Torah speaks in negative about their brothers. So Mefarshim explained, at the time that they got married, Lavan didn't have any sons. So since at that time Lavan didn't have any sons, he could not look at the brothers to make this determination. The Cheshev Sofer says that throughout Shas, often the Gemara says, Kahanim Zrizimhein. The Gemara makes the comment, Kahanim Zrizimhein. So he says, where do the Kahanim get this midah of being Zrizim? So he says, it's based on our Gemara. Because our Gemara just said that when we look at somebody, we look at the brothers. Now the brothers of the we look at the brothers. So the Kahanim who come from Elazar, marry, who were their uncle? Nachshon. And if there's anybody in the Torah who represents Zrizus, it's Nachshon, who was ready to jump into the Yamsuf. So since the Kahanim, the original Kahanim, Elazar's children, had an uncle, Nachshon ben Aminadav, who exemplifies Zrizus, that's why we see that the Kahanim, the Gemara throughout says, have the midah of Zrizus. We spoke in our previous shir that in the time of the Shoftim, when Shevet Dan did not yet have a shir in Eretz Yisrael, they sent five people to look for a portion that they could get in Eretz Yisrael. And when they came to the home of Micha, they heard Yonason speaking that home, and they were able to recognize his voice. And the pasuk says in Shoftim, V'yisuru Sham V'yomer Lo. And they come there and they say to Yonason, Mi aviach aloim, ma ata oisa bezeh, malcha pa. And the question is, why does the pasuk have to have all of these descriptions? It says, Amaloi, they said to him, Lama Moshe Kassus, aren't you a descendant of Moshe Rabbeinu? The ksibe atikra of haloi, that the pasuk uses haloim regarding Moshe Rabbeinu. Lama Moshe Kassus, and they continued saying, aren't you a descendant and Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ksibbe Maza B'yotcha, Lama Moshe Osses, the Ksibbe V'atapoya Moide Modi. And now the question was, after all of these incredible, after you are being a relative of Moshe Rabbeinu, how does it come, they asked him, how does it come that Tasa Koin L'Avodah Zorah, that now you became a priest by Avodah Zorah? Amlem, so he said, Kach Mekublanim Beis Avi Abba. This is what I learned. Loilam Yaskam Adam Atzman Avodah Zorah. A person should be ready to work for an Avodah Zorah, Valiat Starach Labrius, rather than needing to come on to people. Who suffer? But says the Gemara, Yonason had a misunderstanding. He understood what Chazal mean is Avodah Zorah Mamish, that a person should be prepared to work for an Avodah Zorah. The Loihi, but that's not what's meant. El Avodah Zorah, it means Avodah Shazorah Loi. He should be ready to do something which is really not necessarily befitting him, but he should be prepared to do it, just not to have to rely, just like not to have to rely on other people. The Meiri says, but that this Gemara is only in a situation where he has no other options. If he has an option to live more sparingly and not have to do something, that like this, he should do so. Kedam alei Rav
Rav Lev Kahana. We find a precedent for this, says the Gemara. Like Rav told Rav Kahana, the Tosh Nevelta Beshuk, be ready to work with corpses of animals in the street, Beshkol Agarta, in order to be able to be paid a salary, and don't say, Gavra Rabba, no, I'm a great person, Vazila Bimilsa, and it's inappropriate for me to have this job. Says the Gemara. Now that we're speaking about Jonathan, so now he saw that this was a person that would do something for money. He appointed him to be in charge of the treasury. And the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, a person who has a appreciation for money is going to be very, very careful with money. And since he's going to be very careful with money, and if he will be careful not to spend money improperly, and he's the right person, should be the minister, the finance minister. Says the Gemara, V'chi Shavuol Shemai, V'alei Yonason Shemai. But ask the Gemara, we've been saying throughout our shir that his name was Yonason. How do we say his name was Shavuol? Amar Rav Yochanan, Sheshav L'kei B'kolei, because he did tshuva. However, the Yerushalmi has a discussion, and the Yerushalmi says that he did tshuva, but it wasn't really completely sincere. So our Gemara says that if somebody needs panasa, then toish nevelta b'shuka. That, and so paskels the Rambam, that a Talmud Chacham should not make his community be responsible to support him, but he should do something, as we find in the Gemara, that many Tanoim and Amaroim did work, just not to have to be a burden on the community. And he says that just like a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to use his Torah knowledge for covet or for personal gain, it's also not supposed to be a reason to make a panasa, to make a living. And the Gemara Masechta Nedarim, that Flamed Zayin Amud Aleph says that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us Torah and doesn't charge us, so too we should teach Torah and not get paid for teaching Torah. However, as we know, that over the generations, Rabbonim and Rosh Yeshiva and Milandim do get paid. So the Kesef Mishnah and the Taz, they quote a Tosfos Masechta Ksubos, Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. He says there's a difference between somebody who's getting paid a salary to teach Torah versus somebody who have no other way of supporting because they're spending all of the time learning Torah. And the Gemara, in fact, says, in Masechta Ksubos there, that the Kahanim, that the Talmid HaChachamim, who taught the Kahanim, the Halachos of Shechrita and Kamitza, and all of the work in the Beis HaMikdash, says Tosfos, since these Talmidei Chachamim dedicated all their time to teaching and they didn't have time to do anything else, it was the obligation for the public to support them. The Tashbat says, are furthermore on the Rambam, he says the Rambam was a doctor and therefore the Rambam had no problem supporting himself. However, he says, if you have a Talmud Chacham that has no other way of supporting himself, then the halacha is that he may be supported from the community. And he says more than that. He says, if Talmidei Chachamim will not be allowed to take a salary, so he suggests, how will there be Torah in Klal Yisrael if all of the Talmidei Chachamim are going to be required not to take a salary? The remark quotes Ababanel, who gives a different reason why Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to get paid. He says, then, if a Talmud Chacham is left in such a situation and they had no real source of income, then people respect wealthy people. So in order that there should be the proper covered respect for the Rabbanus, that's why they're allowed to take a salary. The Mashal disagrees, but says the Ramah, that if there's a Talmud Chacham who has an independent means of livelihood, and therefore he's going to get the respect that we just discussed, so then says the Ramah, he should not take a salary. The Mashal disagrees, and he says that even if there's a Talmud Chacham who has the ability to support himself, he should still take a salary. And he gives an explanation. He says that it's inevitable that if the person who's a Talmud Chacham is not getting any salary for teaching Torah, he's going to have to spend more time working. And since he's going to have to spend more time working, it's going to take away from his learning Torah. The Rav Moshe Zatzal agrees with the Mashal, and he says that Talmid Chachamim speaks there about there's somebody who's learning in Kollel, and the question that individual asked Rav Moshe Zatzal is, should he take support from the Kollel, or should he try to avoid taking support from a Kollel? He says that nowadays, somebody who believes that he doesn't need that extra support and he could just manage on whatever he has is deluding himself, says Rav Moshe, because it's hard enough to learn. It's hard enough to learn Torah properly, and to have to now also not have to be concerned about Panasa, whatever could be done should be done. And then there's another point that I saw that the Poskim add to this discussion, and that is even if there is an individual who can manage without taking money from the Kollel or without taking support, if that becomes a standard, then there are going to be individuals who cannot survive without that support. And because there are individuals who cannot survive without that support, what we need to be concerned is that they're gonna start not taking what they need to take. In order to make sure that the people, that everybody who's supposed to take, should take and be able to learn and teach. So that's why everybody should take, even the people who may not necessarily need it. Mm-hmm. So we learned in the Mishnah, V'abona Mesa'av. The Mishnah says that the sons are the people who get a Yerusha from a father and give a father Yerusha. But the Mishnah says, focused on the son and not on the daughter. Ask the Gemara, so we learned, as we learned in our previous year, that sons come before daughters. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, Ish kiyomisu ben eloi, v'vartim es nachlosoi lebitoi. So what is the pasuk saying? Tamad eloi ben, because he has no son. But the pasuk is teaching us, hayesh leben, if somebody does have a son, haben kaidim, the son comes before the daughter. Amalei papa labaya, Ema, says the Gemara, maybe what the pasuk means to say, Iyikaben, if there's a son, if there only is a son, so let her spend, let the son yarshin. Ikabas, if there is a daughter, teres bas, then the daughter should inherit. Ikubenabas, but if there are a son and a daughter, loy hai eris, neither should get the Yerusha. So stops the Gemara immediately and asks, if that, what is meant to say here? Ella man leris, if you're saying there's a son and a daughter, neither should get the Yerusha, so who then should get the Yerusha? Otto, says the Gemara, Bakosh, the Masoleris, should the government be the inheritor? Says the Gemara, says Rapapa Hoch Kamina. What I meant to say was, I Ika Ben Ubas, if there's a son and a daughter, Loi Hai Eris Kuli, the Loi Hai Leris Kuli, neither should get the whole Yerusha, El Kihadra Lirisa. What I meant to say was that they should divide the Yerusha. Amalei Abaya, says the Gemara, asks Abaya to Rapapa, that according to you that the son and the daughter are together. V'itzrakal Hashminen, the Hecha de Lesle El Chad Baral or Sin El Kulin Nechsi. So the way you're learning the Pasuk, says Abaya to Rapapa, is only if there's a son only, so the son gets the Yerusha. But if there's a daughter, they share. So ask the Gemara, that do we need a pasuk to teach us if there's only one son, the son gets the Yerusha? Of course the son gets the Yerusha. Who else will get the Yerusha? There's no one else, says the Gemara. V'dilma ha'kamashmalan. But maybe, says Rapapa, the pasuk is coming to teach us, then bas nami bas Yerusha hu. And that That's what the pasuk is teaching us with the word ve'avartem. As we're going to be discussing in our shiurim, it becomes a very big issue who the daughter marries. Because as we learned in the Mishnah, we'll discuss, continue learning the Gemara, a husband is the yoirish of his wife. And if the husband is not from the same shevet as his wife, so it turns out when the wife is yash and her father, then the Yerusha will go to a different shevet. So isn't that what the pasuk is coming to teach us? So clearly, says Rav Papa, the pasuk is teaching us that the daughter is a Yerush. As says the Gemara, that the daughter is a Yerush, and the certain circumstances we learn from the pasuk, v'chol be'as Yerushas nachla nafka. Says the Gemara, Rav Achim Yaakov Omer Mehocha. Where do we learn that a son comes from the daughter? Because the pasuk says that when the B'nai Salafchot came to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, our father died without leaving any sons, and their comment to Moshe Rabbeinu was, Lama Yagar Hashem Avinu Metoch Meshpatoi, Kein Loi Ben. Why should our father lose his Yerusha? Because he has no son. So what do we see? That what was the basis of their claim? Tama Dein Loi Ben. Because he had no son. Hayesh Loi Ben. If he had a son, we understand Ben Kaidim, that the son comes first. Says the Gemara, yes, it's clear that that's what the B'nai Salafchot meant to say. But ask the Gemara, Dima B'nai Salafchot who the Kamen Hachi, maybe that's what the B'nai Salafchot meant to say, but they were wrong. And Nitna Torah V'Zchatcha Chalaka, and the Torah teaches us that perhaps sons and daughters are equal. Says the Gemara, so this can't be the source. Ella Machvata Kadishninan Miyakora. Ravina Mahacha. How do we know that a son comes before the daughter? Because the pasuk says, V'nasatam es nachlosoi l'shera karav elav. So the pasuk teaches us that a karav kaidim, we always give it to the closest relative. Says the Gemara, my karav the ben mibas. And the son, the Gemara is saying, is considered a closer relative than the daughter. Ask the Gemara, my korv of the ben mibas, what makes the son a closer relative? Says the Gemara, as we learned in yesterday's shiur, ben kodim takas ovel yadoi, if a father buys an eved, omavriya, the money that it's used to buy her can be used for kesef kedushin, not only for the father, but for the son as well. And the other halacha was l'stei achuza. We learned in our shiur that if somebody is magdish l'stei achuza, so if somebody it's not the person who is magdishit, is poidit. So then the halacha is, that it goes to the kohana b'yovel. But if the person was magdishit, redeems it, he gets it back by yovel, and not only he keeps it even when yovel comes, and that halacha applies to a son as well. So we see from this Gemara, from these two halachas, suggests the Gemara how a son is considered the closest relative to the father. Says the Gemara, Yada, when we speak about marrying the Mavriya, that can't really be a proof. Because Labas Yadahi, she can't marry. It has nothing to do with closeness. And Stei Chuzo Nami, and says the Gemara, that Stei Chuzo Mai Pircha Gufo, the Kaimel Tana Kulam Yeshivim Ela Mokra Shein Ben. The Alocha that a son has this special halacha by the Stei Chuzo, as we described in our previous year, is learned from the fact that a son prevents the need for Yibam. But we also learned that a daughter prevents the need for Yibam. So in that way, the son and the daughter are equivalent. So this can't be the proof that the son comes before the daughter. So the Gemara, al-machvat kishnim mekar, we go back to our original limud. Vibay said, mahacha, how do we know that a son goes before a daughter? The pasuk says, regarding an eved kanani that somebody owns, v'snachaltem oisel v'neichem achreichem, v'neichem, your sons get them v'loi b'nei seichem. Ask the Gemara, are you saying wherever the Torah uses the word b'neichem, it only means men, not women? Elamata, ask the Gemara, the pasuk that we say in Krishma, l'man yirbu yimeichem v'vei v'neichem, hachinami, are we going to say that the pasuk says b'neichem v'loi b'nei seichem, that only men will be maruch yomim and not women? Says the Gemara, bracha shani. They were giving a bracha. And of course, the bracha of arichas yomim applies and is needed
by men and women equally. We learned from the Mishnah of Achim and Av Noichlam and Achilan. Menolon, how do we know that paternal brothers are Yarshim, but not maternal brothers? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava Asi Achva Bnei Yaakov. The Pasuk says that Yaakov's sons, when they came to reveal themselves, when they met Yosef, said, Yom Mishneim Osa Avadach Achim and Achim Bnei Ish Echad. Ma'ala Halan, they called brothers, and they were all brothers, Menav, Vlemenaim, they were paternal brothers, and not maternal brothers. Afkan, we learn from here that only brothers, Menav, are considered brothers for Yerusha, Vlemenaim, not maternal brothers. Ask the Gemara, Vlomeli, why do we have to have this Gezeirah Shava? The Pasuk says, when it speaks about Yerusha, Mishpachtoi, V'yorosh, Oysoksiv, and from here we learn Mishpachtoi, Losh and Zocher. Mishpachas Av Kruya Mishpacha, Mishpachas Aim, Ena Kruya Mishpacha. So that should be the source. Answers the Gemara Enochanami. V'chiyat Madurava. So where do we need the Gzeir Shav? The Rava says that only paternal brothers are considered brothers, not maternal brothers. That's for a different halacha. Linyan Yibur Itmar. As we just discussed, that if somebody, Rechman Son, dies without children, his brothers do Yibum. And this Gzeir Shav teaches us that only paternal brothers are candidates to do Yibum, not maternal brothers.